Hello, everyone out there. We're here live at the Tilted Kilt. This is the Tony Sands radio show where we talk all of the latest sports news here at the Tony Sands radio show. I have Tony Sands here with me. I'm his co-host, Kelsey Dudley. Tony, are you ready to get going?
Man, I'm ready to get started. A lot of exciting news happened today, especially here in South Florida. What I mean by that, if you don't perform, you leave.
Hit the road, Jack.
Don't you come back no more, no more, no more. But I'm going to tell you, listen, Kelsey, but we got a lot of guests coming here to the Tony Sands show. We got Madre London at Michigan State to be joining the show. We have Coach Roger Harrier to be joining the second hour of the show.
Sounds great.
Coach Glenn at Deerfield Beach High School, because it is a big game this week.
Big battle this week. Big battle.
I also have a guest, exciting guest, CBS. When it comes to high school football, there's no other one greater than my guest, Ryan Bartow.
Has the scoop.
He has the scoop. The man, 24/7 Sports CBS. You can't get no better than that here on the Tony Sands Show. We also have the big gorilla, I call him, Mr.
The
Bosa.
There we go. Mr. Bosa.
Let me tell you something. That mom, you know, they used to call Rocket Ishmael mom the launch pad. When you know, because they was fast. That's why they called her the launch pad.
Right.
What do you give a name to a bomb like Joe, like the Bosa?
What? Just the beast.
Beast mom, did you call it?
The beast.
I mean, I'm trying. Now you call Rocky just Ishmael mama the launch pad because those guys could fly. What do you call a person that's putting out beast?
What we say?
Mama beast.
Just, I guess, Daddy Beast.
Mama and Daddy Beast. Now, Daddy was a heck of a football player.
Yes, he was. Down here with the Dolphins. So those genes run very deep.
Pretty soon, we're going to be saying what? Bloodline pretty soon, because
here comes the second bloodline.
Yeah.
Here comes the second bloodline.
Brother's going to get paid very well here in a couple months, because guess what? He could possibly be a top five pick in the next upcoming NFL draft.
Definitely.
Not only that, we have two bloodlines that are joining the Tony Sands show here. We have Sam Bruce, you know, his bloodline with Isaac Bruce, who will be in the Hall of Fame someday, that was on the
best
the
show greatest, on turf.
You name it.
There you go.
And then all on that, we have Michael Irving the second joining the Tony Sands show. You know, his dad is a Hall of Famer, and you can't say much for him. He is what it is. That name speaks for itself.
Runs in the bloodline.
Listen. But let's dig into what we started talking about earlier. We started talking about letting people go.
Right.
You go to London. Now, you got to imagine now, this is the second time a team have gone to London where a coach is not doing well, and then all of a sudden, they come back here on U.S. soil, and they have no job.
And he's ousted. He's out of there.
Have no job. Now, I told you now, this is the second year. You remember, the Oakland Raiders did it previous. And their destiny came to an end because they could not get it in. After they came back from London, they fired their coach just four games in. Now, here we are again with the Miami Dolphins that Joe Philbin couldn't get it done. He could not get it done. So, here we go. London, four games in, you're gone. If I'm a coach and I'm on the hot seat.
I'm not going to London.
I got to go to London. I'm not going to London at all. Fire me right now.
We can start calling that D-Day.
Fire me right. London?
London is
D-Day.
London,
four games in, you do not want to deal with. If you're a coach going to London in four games, you better not go, because guess what? When you get back to U.S. soil, they're taking your passport.
Honey, don't pack my bags. I'm not going.
I'm not going.
I'm not going.
Oh, no, you might as well fire me now, because this history hasn't been well for the last couple coaches going.
It has not.
To this game.
And the Dolphins have too much talent on that team for them to be underproducing. So I guess it just led Philbin and higher personnel, higher management to a point where something had to give. They had made it to the point where now they expected to see a lot more done, and Philbin was not producing what they needed out of him as a coach, as a leader. Also, as we're hearing right now, as possibly a motivator, as we hear some things coming out of Dolphins camp.
But now, Kelsey, one thing I say about that, and I hear you say, oh, a coach is not motivating enough. When I'm making $20 million a year, I don't need a guy standing over me telling me, you better get this done or you out it. I don't need that.
This is true. I agree.
I don't need that at all. Not right now, because when I leave out the house, I know I got a house payment. I know I got cars that I love, and I'm quite sure they got a lot of luxury vehicles. Not only that, if I'm a family man, I got a family. That's motivation for me enough.
Definitely. I agree. Now, we don't know what went on or what is going on inside of that locker room.
But,
so now it may be tipping the scales for how some of the players are thinking. Is their mind where it needs to be for NFL player?
You've made it this far. Don't tell me that your mind ain't ready.
Well.
Because you made it this far.
Uh-huh.
You made it to this point at the pinnacle in your career. You can't tell me that your mind is not ready. Your mind should have been ready combine time. Your mind should have been ready.
All off season.
When you came into the league to understand what's going on in this league.
I agree.
So how can you tell me? You can't say that.
Well, the production is low. How do you speak for the production being low? Let's see. We got Olivier Vernon. His production is low.
Okay.
We have Ndamukong Suh. His production is very low. Cameron Wake, one of the main people from the Dolphins. His production is low.
You're saying their production is low. I need to be able to, when I look at that and I see Ndamukong Suh, when you are offensive coordinator and you are preparing for Ndamukong Suh, what do? You're going to put him one guy on a, you going to put one guy on
it? Well, no, the game plan definitely goes to Suh.
Okay, so now if the game plan goes to Suh, then you doubling on Suh. You're doubling on Suh, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you are doubling on Suh, somebody's got to make a play. You can't expect this guy. I don't care who it is, J.J. Watts, whoever it is.
Uh-huh.
You got two guys in the NFL that are NFL tackles and an NFL guard doubling down on you. You do not come loose. It's tough to get through that.
Right.
So now you need back-end help from your other guys.
That would bring in Cameron Wake, Olivier Vernon.
So why are they putting this pressure so much on Suh? Because what? They paid him $20 million?
Well, it seems to be that some of the players there saying Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon being in a contract year, some of them, it may have not been happy about the money that was given out.
Well, if you're not happy
to Suh.
But if you're not happy, you make something happen. You have a heck of a year this year, and you can get some of that Suh type money.
And that would be what you're feeling. But we're looking at where these players were the focal point of that D line before Suh came in. Are they feeling some type of way about, hey, Suh came in and they just rolled out the red carpet for him?
What
about us? Could that be the case? We don't know. We're going to find out a lot about the Miami Dolphins and what is going on inside of that locker room in the next couple of weeks. And I say this, with them having an off week, it is going to give them time. Really, it's going to give us as media time to get inside of what is the inner workings of the Dolphins organization. Because now we have 2 weeks to dig and go under and find out about a little bit about the new interim coach that's taken over, Dan
Correct.
Campbell,
now,
and
wait,
to also find out about what's going on with the players there.
But when you dig in, wait a minute, hold on now. This is what I'm trying to grasp with all this, and I'm trying to grasp it for several reasons. When you go to the tight ends coach,
right?
When you go that deep to me, you go to a tight ends coach, you have hit the bottom of the barrel when it comes to coaching. Because tight end coaches are normally the lowest paid on the staff. They're not even so much in the game plan when it comes to setting up the game plan for that week. Because guess what? You got one or two guys, they're either going to do an out, they're going to do a go, or they're going to sit there and they're going to block. They're not going to do much.
Yeah, and the tight ends coach is not the main blocking person. That's ran by the O-line coach, so you're really getting help. So that makes you the assistant, kind of, when it comes down to blocking in the run game with the O-line coach. So you're right about that. But they've gone to him, Tony. They pulled a trigger, okay? And they sat down, and in pulling the trigger, and we have to look at this with Stephen Ross, okay? How long did it take them behind the doors? How long did it take them to make this decision not to fire Philbin? But how long did it take them to make this decision about should we hire Dan Campbell?
Now, but I'm going to break something with you now. And I'm going to – a source of mine, a reliable source, told me this, though. They went to the players. Now, the players had been going to management saying that they wanted Philemon out of there.
Right.
That they wanted Philemon out.
Okay.
It was told by my source that the players stated, that the management stated to the players, Philemon's job depends on your performance over here in London. Your job, his career depends on your play. Now, if I've gone to you and told you, hey, listen, I want you to do a heck of a job for this guy. But if I went to you and told you, I don't want this guy, why would I go to London and break my butt for this guy if I don't want him?
That's something to think of. I mean, I have these, but just like you just said before, now have these players forgotten about what they're out there for? Do I oust this man
if I don't want him around? The best way not to have him around is to do what?
I mean, not produce.
The best way to have him around is to lay down.
Yeah.
If I don't want you around, I lay down. It's almost like if you got a girlfriend and you don't want her around, you never go home.
Correct.
Because you don't want her around.
Oh, you go to other places.
We ain't going to say that now. I know. But I'm telling you, listen, we're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're at Tilt to Kilt in Las Olas, between Las Olas and Andrews and Fort Lauderdale. You're hearing the Tony
Sands
Show.
Downtown
Fort Lauderdale. This is the place to be Monday night, 6 to 8 here at Tilt to Kilt. But as y'all said, we're digging in here, guys. If you're just joining the show, we're talking about the firing of Joe Philemon today. Talking about the firing of Joe Philemon. Now, Kelsey, tell me this, though. As we stated, if I tell you I don't want you around, you tell me to perform, and all of a sudden I lay a goose egg, what's the end result?
The end result is now I'm gone. As a head coach,
I'm gone.
My players aren't playing for me.
Now, I don't know if like I said, a reliable source gave me this information, and this source is very reliable, but I'm saying to myself, it's hard for me as a player to just lay down.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting to. I can't – game plan, preparation throughout the week, I know my job. I know my focus.
Correct.
I know what I'm out there for. Like you said, I'm out there for family. I'm out there for a living. And I'm thinking about the do's and don'ts of someone else being my head coach, or the success of my head coach.
Correct.
And how I may play a part in that. All I know, Tony, is at that level, I'm trying to give my maximum output so I can be the best I can be at the top level. I can't get into, okay, whether I want my coach here or whether I don't want him here, that's out of my control. That's the job of the upper management. That's not for me to decide. However, we may be in that situation, and if that's going on, or if that has gone on, then what does that say about the Dolphins organization?
It says several things. Some guys need some shaking up, and I guess that's why they bought in Mr. Dan Campbell, because when I saw his interview today, Kelsey, the guy kind of, like I said, it's the biggest head coach I've ever seen in a long time.
He looks the part, doesn't he?
I mean, I thought if they was hiring a strength and conditioning coach, I would have said this guy here.
That's the strength coach. Huh?
Is the perfect fit if it came to hiring a strength and conditioning guy. This guy alone is huge.
Yes, massive.
Dan Campbell is a big guy. And okay, now tell me this: you a guy on the bubble. All of a sudden, this big dude come to you, hey, listen, I need some performance out of you.
I would say the motivational end is not going to be a problem coming from Dan Campbell. If anything, we won't be saying once they come off the bye week, I don't think we'll be saying we don't see any emotion or energy out there amongst the Dolphins.
Yeah,
we will see a load of energy, a lot of energy out there with the Dolphins. Now, results are a different thing. But as far as energy, he said that he's looking to change the culture, okay? And that's what he's trying to do. We don't know what that means.
You're saying change the culture of the Miami Dolphins. So that tells me a couple things.
Yes, it does.
Not getting the job done. He couldn't have been getting the job done. If this guy comes in and he states, You know, I learned a lot from film. I did. But we wasn't practicing hard enough. That scares me as an NFL team. Because you got to practice to a high level. So when game time comes, you're still performing at a high level.
And if the tight end coach is making that assessment, as we said, and he's not the highest one on the totem pole, he's very low on the totem pole, then that's not saying a lot for the rest of the coaches that are on this staff also, and what they may have recognized, and the culture that they may either be lending to,
correct,
or they may not want to be a part of. So maybe you're not getting your full coaching effort from everyone else as well. So maybe not only do we have the players laying down, possibly could we have coaches laying down.
I'm going to say that, but let me tell you, this is what was played earlier today, the soundbite that was played earlier today by ESPN upon when Joe Philbin was released.
The one
we're going to play this. We're
going
to play the soundbite. I'm going to let you guys listen to what was stated by ESPN when it comes to the firing of Joe Philbin.
The 1-3 start obviously was something that was very disappointing. And for the second straight year, we have now seen a head coach who went over to London, taking a disappointed team there, lose a game, and having that be the final game that he wound up coaching. And typically, you don't get too many firings 4 games into the season. But every now and then, we get one that seeps in, and it has now happened in Miami, just as it happened in Oakland last year with Dennis Allen. Dan Campbell, the tight ends coach, is expected to take over as the interim head coach. He's somebody that learned at the foot of Bill Parcells when he played for him.
Now, Kelsey, you heard that. But Dan Campbell, now you heard what happened at the end of that soundbite.
Yeah.
So now you understanding what it took to get this guy and how this guy became the front runner. Because normally when you are doing a coaching change, you hire a couple of people, either OC or DC or your assistant head coach.
Right.
This guy was neither. But he had one plus that I could see.
What's
he
that?
Was from
the Bill Parcells,
the Parcells
regime.
Tree. He was up under that Parcells regime. I mean, when you look at his, I mean, when you look at it, Kelsey, I mean, his resume is not that lengthy on his history.
I mean, he's not too far removed from actually being a part of the NFL as a player himself.
Yeah, he's a former American football tight end.
Finishing
and
out.
Intern for the right now for the Miami Dolphins. He was drafted in 1999. And, right now, you're drafted in 1999. And now all of a sudden you become the interim coach with the Miami Dolphins. But Kelsey, let's spin to a little bit of college football. When I say college football at its best.
Yes.
One of the nations, the number two team right now in the nation.
Yes.
Michigan State, who is tearing up the landscape. We have the pleasure of bringing their running back here to the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the show, Madre. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Madre?
How y'all doing?
Madre, man, I'm doing fine, man. Listen, it's always a pleasure when we can bring a guy of your talent, your skill level, here to the Tony Sands Show. Madre, now here you are, you know, young guy. All of a sudden, you've been handed the keys to the number two team in the nation. The number two team in the nation. What was that like when your coach told you, okay, Madre, we're going with you guys now?
It was just a humbling experience, you know, showing that all the hard work does pay off. And that to be honored, the starting running back was a blessing. You know, it just showed how all the hard work really paid off and how it really is going to be.
I mean, Madre, now, here you guys are. You're the number two team in the nation. You're right now getting ready. Big Ten play. What's the difference between Big Ten play and non-Big Ten play?
Big Ten play, you know, if you don't out of conference teams, you know, you can lose one and still be in the race and stuff like that. But Big Ten play, you know, you can't have them downfall games. You know, you can't lose a beat. You can't lose a game, because if you lose a game, you basically be out of the Big Ten championship. And what it's looking like right now, if we lose the game, we're not going to be in the Big Ten, and we're not going to be able to be in the playoffs. So we just got to stay undefeated and get through all these hard games in the Big Ten And then hopefully our dreams will come true, going to the playoffs and the Big Ten championship.
Now, I played up under Coach D'Antonio. I played up under Coach Warner. I played, even was, you know, following some of the things with my main man, Tim. Now, tell me this. And D'Antonio was always a quiet, real quiet coach. Very quiet coach. What was it like? What is it like playing for him? Is he still quiet? Is he still like that, walks with that nonchalant attitude, or has he gotten a lot more motivated since becoming a head coach of a number two team?
I mean, he never changed. You know, his demeanor has changed if things are going wrong. You know, overall, he's a laid-back guy. He's a quiet guy. But when things are going wrong, he'll step up to the plate and yell at us and tell him what we need to do. You know, I feel like that's how all head coaches are. You know, the demeanor of everything has to change at certain points or aspects of the game. So, yeah, he's quiet overall, but when things go wrong, he makes sure he get in your face and tell you what you need to do, and he's just keeping it real.
Okay, now tell me this. Now, you know you guys used to be, used to be the little brother to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Has those ties turned a little bit? Now you become the big brother and they're the little brother, or they still consider the big brothers and you guys just being able to jump up and punch your big brother in the mouth?
I don't feel like we the little brother. You know, we just let our game take place when we end up playing them. So they want to call us the little brothers, whatever. But we just see every year when we play them, we just see who's the better team. We don't. I mean, we'd like to be called the little brother. You know, that's how they label us. That's okay. But once we play them, we just let all the play and all everything else goes from right there.
Now you guys go to them on. You got Rutgers. Now, do you what? And I know it's gonna be tough. You guys got Rutgers on the 10th. Then you go to Michigan. Mm-hmm. How hard is it going to be to focus on Rutgers when you come back and you have a Michigan team next?
Oh, we gotta focus on everybody. You know, we take it day by day, and when that time will come, it'll come. But right now, the record's going to be in a tough environment. You know, anything, you know, just like since we're one of the top teams, we have a bullseye on our back. You know, so we have to come out and approach every game like it's a championship game, really. So I know the record's going to give us our best, and it's away, and that's going to be in a tough environment also. So we can't lose a beat. And then once Michigan come, it just come right then and there. We'll focus on them. But right now, we got to focus on Rutgers because we can't have no little bad game like like other teams have during like top 10, four of the top 10 teams lost this past week. You know, we just try not to do that.
Now, tell me this, though. You say you're going to try not to lose focus with Rutgers, but yet and still you have – Michigan right after that. Then you got Indiana, Nebraska, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Ohio State. And then Penn State. But you having, I mean, right now, the way it looked at it, you guys are in that Eastern Division with yourselves, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Indiana, Rutgers, and Maryland. But then you look at the West and you say you only have Iowa, Northwestern, Minnesota, Wisconsin. You know, Northwestern is 5-0 also in the West, and I was 5-0 in the West. But then you have Ohio State and you guys that are 5-0 in the division, but follow there with Michigan 4-1 and Penn State 4-1. You guys got a pretty good schedule to make it through to get to that championship. Now,
mm-hmm.
You guys beat Michigan, and this is I'm playing high. I'm just going far beyond because you're not gonna do it, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna put you guys above Michigan. I'm gonna put you above Michigan. All of a sudden, you come to Ohio State. You guys beat Ohio State, and you guys get in the big dance that you started out with. Mm-hmm. How do you, as a guy, you a young guy, you still a young guy, but yet and still, here you are leading a team that's getting an opportunity to possibly play for a national championship. What do you think you're going to feel like that night before that big playoff game?
Man, I don't know. It'll just be overwhelming. You know, I'd be used to it, obviously, you know, coming from the stage or from high school that I was coming from. But I just try to stay level-headed and just do what God gave me the ability to do. Just go out there and showcase my talent again. It's a big stage. But
now, hey, Marjorie, listen. You're joining the Tony Sands Show. We're live here from Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Las Olas and Andrew, this is the place to be. Tilt to Kilt coming up. Like I said, we have some of your, I could call you an alum now. But before I couldn't call you an alum because you was not an alum. You was considered a student. We have some of the alums here also that's going to be joining the Tony Sands Show. We also have Coach Roger Harriet that's going to join the Tony Sands Show.
The super coach.
And that's what, you know, that's what he's known as, the super duper man. But what was it like when you heard that Coach Harriet would be taking over at St. Thomas?
It was good, you know, for our program. You know, we lost Coach Asulo, but everything, it all planned out to be well. You know, more guys going to more colleges. You know, I feel like they got better outlook for everybody. You know, when you was coaching at university school, you put a lot of colleges, I mean, a lot of players in college, so they didn't miss a beat. And he just got more people in college, and he's really a people person, so I respect him for that. And he's a winning coach also, so that's always good for St. Thomas to win.
Okay, now, Madre, this is Kelsey chiming in with you here. Madre, I wanted to, on a lighter side, okay, now you have your high school team down here pushing strong for a national championship, okay? And you have now your college team there and the Spartans pushing for a national championship. I mean, Madre, around the guys up there on the team, I mean, are you walking pretty big and tall with your chest out there, buddy? And, hey, I come from the national championship team.
Wait a minute,
team.
Now, they're not a national championship.
Well,
yet.
Soon to be national championship team
later,
down
but,
there in South Florida,
later,
so you know.
Madre, go ahead and ask Kelsey and give him your complete answer because I know that's got to be flying high. You're from a winning program now, and you continuing to help another team win.
Yeah, how are you walking around campus, Madre?
I'm walking around, you know, still the same. I'm not going to let no winning program or nothing like that change the way I am as a person. You know, I'm staying humble and, I mean, it's always good to have come from a good background of a school like that, and everybody else know that too. So I really don't have to hang. I don't really got to say too much about that.
There you go. Sounds good.
Yeah. Hey, listen. That was Mr. Madre London, Mr. Michigan State. He is leading his team to victory as they will play Rutgers this week on the 10th. They will meet Rutgers at it's an 8 a.m. game on the Big Ten Network. So you guys that are chiming in, you follow Michigan State football. Michigan State is doing a heck of a job. Coach D'Antonio and the guys, they're doing what it takes to lead that program in. Hey, Madre, thank you for joining the show, man. I'll let the guys know that you're still rooting for STA to do their thing as they push their quest to become state champs once again.
Thanks, Madre.
Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show. Now, that was Madre. Their team is doing, think about D'Antonio is doing a big job and a great job with, you know, Michigan State. But now, we look at with Coach D'Antonio, will he continue that drive, or would D'Antonio look for greener pastures?
Well, I think there's some coaches, when you talk about the college landscape, there's some coaches that stay in their area and they're comfortable with what they're doing. And I think a lot of what D'Antoni has done and built there at Michigan is it's like more of his baby, and he's built that program. And I, you know, some coaches, they don't have the urge to move on because they have such a stronghold on what they've built.
Correct.
And they're looking forward to taking that as far as they can. So I look for D'Antoni to stay put pretty much in Michigan, at Michigan State, and not to leave.
But now, you got the Dolphins open. He's winning. Is there a possibility that they reach down to a college coach to bring a college coach in to get these guys motivated? Because now it has worked with Harbaugh. It worked with Harbaugh now. when he did what he did?
Tony, I don't. You gotta think about the Dolphin Nation here, and what these people have gone through since Marino. What are they asking for? Could you actually be Stephen Ross in this situation and slide a college coach in there and still keep a stronghold on your fan base? I don't know.
Now, listen, this is why I say you can do that. He's a winner. He's been proven to be a winner. He's winning at Michigan State. He's known to be a motivator. Not only a motivator, he is leading guys. He know how to motivate guys. You heard Madre speak on it, that when they don't do the right thing, he get in their face. Because we're saying that Joe Philbin wasn't getting in people's face. So now, do he sell tickets? Because you got to figure, that's a business that's being ran. It ain't like the Dallas Cowboys to where Jerry Jones have his finger on the pulse.
Right. That's Tony, that's a tough one.
You bring a young guy in, he sells tickets. This young coach from the college ranking that went, I don't know. Like you said, I guess you're scared of Nick Saban.
Well, I mean, many of the fan base is going to be, they, you know, you still have some of the fans that are shell-shocked from the Nick Saban leaving and the way that he left. That may be a big problem there. So, and looking at, you got D'Antoni coming in. They're going to ask, can he come in and not only be a motivator himself, but can he be a motivator of guys that are making more than he's making?
But Kelsey, if you look at the landscape of the NFL, players are making more than coaches.
Right.
So what would be the difference? The only team I see that like that where you could not get that done is in Dallas, in New England, mm-hmm. the Bill Belichick. But everywhere else in the landscape, the players runs the team.
I'll tell you one thing, that D'Antoni definitely has a possibility
Correct.
Of being brought up. And I would definitely say, because as you look across the NFL coaches that are coming up and that are available, it's not many out there, Tony. It's a lot of retreads. Okay, they're mentioning Cowher. They're mentioning other coaches such as maybe a Mike Shanahan. These are all retreads.
Correct.
So now, D'Antoni does have a possibility.
But he won't be a retread. He wouldn't be a retread.
No, not D'Antoni. Definitely not. But, right. you know, in going that route, the college route, the college coach route, right. it is a possibility because there's not many NFL-level coaches that are left there. And you do want some new blood in there. I understand that. But he has to come in and he has to put his stamp on the team very early, Tony. Very early.
You're live here with myself, Tony Sands, and my co-host, Kelsey Dudley, live at Tilt the Kilt. Kelsey, let's get into Tilt the Kilt. Let people know, listen, I told Joe, listen, I want to get me one of them little, they call them, you know, I called them a skirt, but they correct me real quick.
They call it a kilt.
A kilt. I know they corrected me. But then I said, what if I know what the kilt is, well, what is the tilt? So I'm gonna research that. But like I said, this place is, when you want to watch, I mean, TVs are everywhere here at Tilt the Kilt.
Yeah, I'm amazed by the TVs. I really didn't know there was this much vision of the TVs I can possibly watch. Let's say I can get going. I can watch at least about 25 games here at one time.
Now, we're also being streamed live on audiblesports.com. You can go to audiblesports.com and you can see the show live. I'm going to tell you, Kelsey, they also brought us out some of their beautiful boneless chicken wings. And these things are delicious.
With the blue cheese? Is that blue cheese you got?
I dip it in the blue cheese. And when I say awesome, this is an awesome combination of a delicacy. I'm going to dig into that when we get ready to go to a commercial break.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. You know, your Heat played last night.
Yes.
Your Heat played last
yes.
night. Your Miami Heat played last night. I know you itching for that.
I'm loving it.
Can we get a winning team on this end? Because we ain't right now. We're not that successful right now.
Oh, we're about to turn into a basketball town, buddy. We're about to turn into a town.
Right now, the only team that are winning here in South Florida is St. Thomas. Everybody else is losing right now.
Everyone else is losing
Miami
right now.
Miami is not doing well. University of Miami.
That speaks for itself, and we're going to get on that.
So you said the Miami Heat finna turn the tides of fanfare here in South Florida.
Well, possibly. You know, people want to see those glory days continue that they saw here with LeBron. So I feel that a lot with the changes that they've made, and you know when, as they call him, the Don, Pat Riley has made changes.
Correct.
In Pat Riley, we trust. That's how it goes, you know. So now look for some critical things to happen with the Miami Heat, some improvement. And even last night, if you were watching on the Sunshine Network, you know, the Heat preseason, pretty lively. They're showing up, then they're going to be the new look Heat. So, you know, keep your eyes on this team.
Let's look at you're saying right now the Heat is all that, and he's gonna change the fanfare of.
I didn't say all that.
I'm just telling you what you said. Now you said it's gonna change the fanfare here.
Okay.
In South Florida.
Okay.
All right. You're saying it's gonna change the fanfare. What are they gonna do? You know, I think they're still aching from the LeBron loss here in South Florida. I still say that to this day. But I know you are.
There's still some soreness there. I'm gonna tell you, there's still some soreness there. Even with me, I still have a little bit of soreness there. Yeah, I'll admit it. Okay, I have soreness. LeBron left. Didn't like the way he left. He shouldn't have did it. But I understand. Okay, now moving on from that part. The new Heat team without LeBron looks very promising because Bosch is back.
Okay.
He looked great last night.
Okay.
And we have a couple high flyers on the team. Now, that being in Gerald Green.
Ah!
Came through with a dunk last night.
I know you. I understand now. You know, I don't want to see you do this in the preseason. I want to see you do this in the postseason. Don't give me nothing about no preseason if you can't produce in the postseason. I don't want to hear it.
Well, you know, basketball, Tony, is a little bit different. And, you know, when we go into football you and I have gotten into these talks about, you know, a basketball season is long. So, you know, a team could start out one way or get injuries and then get a player trade, and then all of a sudden they look totally different.
Okay, let's look at your lineup.
Yes.
Like I said, you got Whiteside as your center.
Holding down the middle.
You got Bosch as your power forward. You still got D-Wade. The old man still doing his thing.
Old man is still kicking.
At the shooting guard. And at the point guard, you have Jack.
We have Goran Dragic.
Yes. Now, at the center position, Stoudemire is third on the depth chart, but you bought Stoudemire name up.
Yeah, because, you know, what they're going to do is Chris Anderson is coming off an injury, so you have Amari Stoudemire. He's probably going to get more time in the preseason, but again, we're talking about preseason, trying to get him acclimated to the system.
Playoffs? You're talking playoffs?
Well, you know, I didn't say.
But then you got Udonis Haslem, that's third on the depth chart, at the power forward position.
That UD.
At the power forward position. And then you look at, you know, some of your other guys, you know.
We got Chalmers still coming off the bench, backing him up. Gerald Green, as I said. Justice Winslow, that is a key name for us to watch out for, to watch over time. I want to see in these first couple of months how he progresses as a rookie Heat player. You know, sometimes they say that the rookies hit the wall. So we have to stay tuned for that. But I like the changes and the direction and focus that they put into the team here as far as the Heat go. So,
and then you got October 7th, they'll be playing Orlando. And then on the 12th, they go to San Antonio. October 13th, they go back to Orlando. And then on the 17th, they go to Houston. Guys, you're joining here the Tony Sands Show at Tilt to Kilt in Fort Lauderdale at Las Olas and Andrews Avenue, one of the most exciting sports bars here in South Florida.
Nice sports bar.
Kelsey Dudley, we spoke with Marjorie London from Michigan State. We're going to, a little bit, we're going to speak with Roger Harriott and his guys that are leading themselves into what I call a lineup of their schedule to play Adelfield Beach High School. And we're going to talk to them later on here on the show. But let's get back to this firing position with Joe Philbin. You know, that is the talk of the town. I still want to get back into a little bit of how all this played out, because as I told you guys earlier, it was told to me by a source that Joe Philbin, that the guys went to management and said that they wanted Joe Philbin out of it. And this game depended on them and their success if Joe Philbin stays or if he goes. And all of a sudden, they don't do so well.
Tony, it makes me
want to believe that that could have been true.
Tony, I think a lot of things are going to come out in this next week because, again, the Dolphins are off. I think this is going to prove to be a critical time for the Dolphins. And is this organization going to turn around and possibly show from upper management that they're trying to get it on the right track and Stephen Ross is trying to get it corrected from all the mistakes from before of coaches and players? Or are they going to go in the wrong direction and then continue to go, as I would say, maybe go left and not get the organization itself on the right track? I was on Twitter today, and just going through some of the Dolphin fans' tweets, they want the whole organization from top to bottom cleaned out, Tony, and I think that's where, you know, we may be.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey, when we made that, we're going to head to a commercial break. We're going to head to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with national recruiting analyst Ryan Bartow. That's going to dig into, we're going to talk national recruiting, we're going to talk South Florida recruiting, and we're going to talk what do it take to go into recruiting when it comes to ranking teams, when it comes to ranking players. And we also, I got to get into them with them a little bit of what it takes in this day and age for a kid to be recruited. So we're going to get into that. We're going to head to a commercial break. We're coming back here live from Tilt to Kilt. Coming up to the show, it's going to be Ryan Bartow,
24/7 Sports, baby.
CBS and 24 Sports. Welcome. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. This is Tony Sands. I'm bringing to the show Mr. Ryan Bartow, a national recruiting analyst from 24/7 Sports.
What's up, Tony? Great to be here back in Fort Lauderdale in Talon Heaven. Just got back on Saturday. Went through about 32 schools last week in the Carolinas. So always good to be up in D-line heaven.
Now you say you was in D-line heaven.
Yep.
Tell me some of the D-linemen that you had an opportunity to see.
You know what? I saw the number 2 D-tackle in the country, Dexter Lawrence, out of Wake Forest, North Carolina. This is a guy that's 6'5", 315, really looking heavily at Florida, NC State, Clemson, Alabama, a few others. But when I say D-line heaven, there's a reason why I call it that. For the last 21 years, there's been an NFL draft pick in the top 3 rounds from North or South Carolina that's got drafted either the first, second, or third round.
But now tell me this. When you're on the road and you're looking at schools and you're looking at players, what goes into you scheduling your day of what you want to see? Is it because your viewers and your fans want to see a certain particular player or a certain school, or you just going out scouting everybody to try to find that jewel?
Well, I'm assigned to certain parts of the country, the hotbeds, I think.
Uh-huh.
I have Southern California, Los Angeles, right. Metro Dallas, where I'll be next week, South Florida, Broward and Dade County, where I live, Central Florida, Tampa, Orlando, as well as the Carolinas, where I used to live, along with Virginia Beach up to North Jersey. So not only are those nice spots, those are where most of the talent is in the country. So I go through 175 high schools in the spring. I come back in the fall, go through 175 high schools. But I do it just like a college coach. I'll go through 5, 6, 7 schools a day, always go through the high school coach. And you pot them out by geography. So
okay.
You knock out certain areas like Like last Thursday, for example, I went through six schools in Charlotte, which is always loaded. So you do it geographically.
Now, you say you're in Metro Dallas. You seem to be hitting some of the hottest recruiting spots in the country. Seems like you got the best areas to cover. The other guys seem like they probably got to hit a lot of rural areas. They probably got to travel all over the place. But you are hitting some of the hot beans.
No doubt. When I go to Dallas, the common theme there is high-paid, excellent high school coaches and great facilities. You see stuff there you don't see in South Florida in terms of everybody has an indoor facility. Everybody has great advantages there. Plus, these kids in Dallas, they're lifting, they're eating, they're developing at a sixth grade, from sixth grade on. So a lot of times these recruits, when you see them as juniors and seniors in Texas, they might not be getting much better for the colleges. Correct. Because they've already eaten four core meals a day. They're already lifting. So their ceiling may not be as high as a defensive lineman in the Carolinas or a skill player in South Florida.
But now tell me this. You hit on a couple points. You said high-paid coaches, and you said nice, great facilities. Mm-hmm. Let's look into that, because a lot of people don't realize. You look at the state of Florida here. And if you look at all the young men that are going to the NFL, going to colleges, setting the landscape, breaking records all throughout the country of college football, but yet they come out of Florida, and Florida coaches don't get paid that well. I think the average pay, especially at the public school level, the average pay of a coach is roughly about $3,000, and that's for the year. Understand, mm-hmm. A coach is a coach, he's a dad, he's a counselor, and sometimes in certain cases, he's a drug counselor. I mean,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, life coach. Yeah, the one advantage of coaching in South Florida is it's a great place to live, and you know you're going to have talent. So you do have perks to that, but they're not as appreciative so much. So if they do win, you see a lot of the better coaches moving on to college jobs like Ice Harris or Telly Lockett, or they get paid to go to South Carolina, South Georgia, Texas, where they are paid sometimes triple figures a year.
But who is not, I mean, when we said they're not appreciated. Who is not appreciated? I mean, is it the landscape of South Florida not knowing what they got, or the people that make these type of decisions are not understanding that South Florida football should be on the same pay scale as the Carolinas, as Texas, as California?
Yeah, and in South Florida, there's a reason for that. It's recruited heavily. Correct. More than all those other areas that
Correct.
You said, because of the talent, because of the upside. I think it's some parts of it has to do with the administration of places.
Uh-huh.
Some parts of it has to do with the population.
Uh-huh.
And you see, why are they getting paid high in places like Georgia, South Carolina,
Correct.
Texas? Because they can fill their places up with, you know, sometimes 10 to 20,000 fans a game. So that brings in revenue.
Now, when I look at Texas, and I've been to Dallas a lot, you know, I got a chance to watch Dallas Skyline, Dallas Carter.
Yep.
When I look at those places, and I see how they pack stadiums, because they do pack stadiums a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I look at that and I'm saying, how are they packing stadiums? We're here in South Florida, and pretty much if you're not going to a St. Thomas game, you can go to any local Little League game, and there are more kids, more parents, and more fanfare at a Little League game than there is at a high school game.
I'll try to sum it up like this. In South Florida, there's more things to do than all those other places.
Correct.
I lived in Greenville and Clemson.
Correct.
There's six things to do a year when you have six Clemson home games. That's it.
Correct.
Here, there's 20 different things to do than go to a high school game.
I mean, you're correct on that, but mm-hmm. I think that might play a factor in, as you stated, them getting paid and
yes.
not getting paid. When you look at South Florida, you say $3,500 at the best for a public school coach.
Yep.
You look at a public school coach in Dallas, you're looking at some of them making six figures.
Yes, some of them 90.
And that's all they do.
Yeah, and when I go to schools in Texas, I won't have to wait for a kid or to meet a coach, because that coach is sitting in the field house, and all him and his staff have to do is, you know, get their players better pregame,
Correct.
Game plan, stuff like that.
Correct.
Where a lot of these coaches in Florida, they're also teachers during the day too.
And that, and like you say, they're teachers, so they got to make the bulk of their salary from the teaching
yes.
component.
Yeah.
But those guys, all they do is coach. I think their assistant coaches makes more than a high school coach.
No doubt. And it, I mean, some of it is location, some of it is revenue brought in, some of it is the socioeconomic of certain parts of the country. Uh-huh. So that all factors in.
Okay, now let's get into South Florida. We're going to bring you back to South Florida where you are in the hotbed.
Where I love.
Let's start. Give me, here in South Florida, give me your top five schools that you would rank as far as, you know, getting the job done.
Obviously, my number one school is the one that traditionally has the most, you know, the best coaches, the best players, and the most tradition. That's St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay. That's my number one school, actually, in the country.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a college recruiter anywhere in the country, you have to make that a priority stop every spring.
Okay.
You also have Miami Central, probably has 21 D1 guys on their roster right now. That's probably taken the place of what Miami Northwestern used to be.
Okay.
American Heritage with Coach Rump and Coach Surtain and those guys. Right now, they have 8 4-star guys. They've really built it up. They're looking to try to get their third state title in a row there. They do an excellent job. I think another spot that you want to hit up every year in Dade is, you know, you got to go to Northwestern, but Booker T. Washington that had that national win streak, they always got guys. They got speed, great coaching staff. I love what they do on personnel-wise.
Correct.
But then you got so many other schools, whether it's Cardinal Givens, Coconut Creek, what Kareem Reed has done there is tremendous.
Correct.
Hollandale's always got guys. Carroll City with the big win over Central on Saturday night, they always got guys. So you want to hit up your main spots, but the so-called second tier schools are always loaded as well. And you know what? You can get pretty much everything you need in terms of skill talent, wide receivers, defensive backs, all that from Broward down.
Correct. And I mean, when you say it in Broward down, that is the way it is supposed to be when you're looking at the success of a program. I mean, you talk about a lot of it from a standpoint of winning and losing. St. Thomas, as you stated, was a school that had great success, most guys in the NFL, Miami Central, American Heritage, those are powerhouse teams.
National programs. They can go anywhere in the country and beat programs. And some of them, the programs we talked about, they may not have in terms of facilities or developmental in terms of that perks, but what they do have is tremendous coaches and really deep amounts of talent.
And that's what it is. Guys, you're talking to Ryan Bartow here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, we got a list of guys here to talk to. High school-wise, you're talking Sam Bruce, Michael Irvin, Sean Shivers is joining the Tony Sands Show. You get a chance to get out and visit these guys quite often.
All the time. And isn't it a luxury for me to live in Fort Lauderdale and to have access to see all those guys all the time?
Exactly.
And the guys you mentioned, I mean, Sam Bruce, I think the number one slot receiver in the country, dynamic personality, quicker than fast. He's a highlight play waiting to happen every time he touches the ball. And this is a guy, when I go up to Jersey, when I go to Maryland, when I go to Texas, I tell them I live in Fort Lauderdale. These kids want to know, the first thing they want to know, oh, so you live in the same town as Sam Bruce.
That's Sam Bruce.
He's a celebrity. He's a rock star. Mike Irvin Jr. is a guy that I've covered now for 3 years. I saw him before he had any offers back when he lived in Metro Dallas. Tremendous upside. I think he's a grow-into tight end, big-time ball skills, plays with an edge, has great DNA. And obviously with Nick Bosa, who I think is as good of a recruit as you're going to find in the country, big-time upside.
But I'm going to tell you what I said, and I talked to my co-host about that earlier,
yes.
Kelsey. I said, okay, now when Rocky Ishmael was coming out, they had, their mom was called the launch pad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, what name do you call Joey Bosa, mama, when you're producing two beasts?
Well,
what name do you give him?
I did a story on Nick in March, and I called him the Brock Lesnar of high school football.
Correct.
He plays with an edge, and I also would refer to him, and you don't say this too often in the evaluation process, but I would refer to him as a sure bet. I think there's a high odds for him to be a successful player in the country, and he's an instant impact type player.
Correct.
He will come in on campus in Columbus, Ohio, and not redshirt. He will be a two-deep, instant impact type talent, which is rare for any true freshman.
Now, you're hearing here on the Tony Sands Show from the number one, as I call it, number one recruiting analyst in the country, 24/7 Sports, CBS. Mr. Ryan Bartow is telling you what time it is about the recruits that he's getting the opportunity to see and where he's going to see them. Ryan, tell me this. We got to go to a commercial break in a minute. My producer's telling me. Tell me this. In your eyesight, and we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it quick. There's some stories telling me that St. Thomas may not even be able to play a state championship because they don't have enough games.
Well, I just heard in the last 20 minutes here that may not be accurate. I know that they're still working to try to fill that game on October 23rd, but I think given their strength of schedule that they'll still have a chance for that.
And they got to do it just like they do college. Yeah. How they used to do college sports. Strength of schedule should weigh that.
Because now there is national title game for high schools, so you want to be able to go to the committee with this the best possible.
Correct. Guys, hey, we're going to head to a commercial break. You was hearing Mr. Ryan Bartow, recruit analyst, CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports, joining the Tony Sands Show. We're going to chime in here with him week in and week out, rather. He's on the road or live here. He's going to join the Tony Sands Show. We're going to call it the Ryan Bartow Out.
I love
on
it.
On the road or here. We're going to get the inside scoop on college, high school football right here. He's going to tell you how we get done and how we need the right players. We're going to go to a commercial break. And we're coming back with Coach Roger Harrod here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you. Here on the Tony Sands Show live at Tilt the Kilt here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Los Olas and Andrews Avenue, the best sports bar around. You can see TVs from every angle of this place. But I get the pleasure to interview St. Thomas Aquinas head coach, Mr. Roger Harrod, here on the Tony Sands Show. Coach, tell me this. You get hired as the head coach. Now you get the opportunity to lead great men. What do you tell them? And how does it take to be?
You know, first of all, I just want to thank you, Tony, for having us on the show, St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, it's such a pleasure to be affiliated with you. I've had an opportunity to grow up and watch you, and now to be sitting next to you is a real honor. With regards to your question, it's an exciting time for me and my family, you know, and what we tell the kids at St. Thomas Aquinas is to make sure that you give your best effort. Be humble, show a lot of admiration and love in everything that you do. And, you know, more than likely things will happen to the best of your ability.
Now, Coach, you're getting ready to embark on a journey. You play Deerfield Beach on Friday night. What do you do to get your kids motivated for a game like that?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because we're at the time of the year where things have declared with regards to prominent teams and inferior teams. And at this point, we are talking a whole lot about emotion and what it takes to be prepared psychologically to take on teams that have a whole lot of emotion behind them. And how do you match that? You got to focus in on who you represent, what you stand for. And as a result, our guys are ready to go.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the matchup against Deerfield. They're an extraordinary team. They have a ton of talent. They're not to be taken lightly at all. They're 4-1 right now.
And Coach Glenn, who will join the show also, Coach is doing a heck of a job with that program. When I get a chance to see him out a lot. When you guys are going up against a team that they don't take no motivation within the last 3 to 4 years. That's been flip-flop. Deerfield win, St. Thomas win, Deerfield win.
Right.
That series has been kind of even when the last 5 years. It's been a tough series.
I mean, Deerfield has an extraordinary program. We're looking forward to the matchup. And if there was ever a rivalry that St. Thomas could say has been faced with a formidable opponent over the past decade, that's definitely Deerfield Beach. We're definitely looking forward to it. We're going to be emotionally and mentally ready. And, you know, our hats go off to Deerfield and their coaching staff. And we're focused on what we need to do moving forward. Right now, our primary focus is emotion, the emotional aspect of the game. That's got to carry us through the remainder of the year.
Coach, hey, it was a pleasure joining you here on the Tony Sands Show. Man,
appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to join a guy like you and the things that you are doing. Like I said, guys, we're going to dig into a lot of the other high school guys we have here on the show. We're going to talk with Coach Glenn. Oh, man, it's an exciting time here in South Florida at Tilt to Kilt. Michael Irving is joining the show here at Tilt to Kilt.
Michael Irving the second.
The original playmaker is joining the show.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Michael Irvin is going to join the show. Kelsey's going to get back in. Hey, Coach, take it easy.
I could.
My pleasure, bro.
I appreciate it. Can't leave the show without giving a shout-out to the George Smith, godfather of South Florida football.
He's the godfather of football.
We appreciate it. We love him.
No doubt. Kelsey, let's get back on. Hey, listen, guys. When we talk about NFL football, there's no other greater analyst that can bring you to side. Michael Irvin is joining the Tony Sands Show here. Welcome to the show, Mike. What's going on, bro?
Hey, same old, man. Just, you know, hey, I got the greatest job in the world. I'm flying around the world to watch football and then go on TV and talk about it. Doesn't get any better than that.
Mike, let me, you know, the hottest topic right now is the firing of Joe Philbin. Give me some insight on when you thought that would take place, or do you think that should have taken place?
Well, you know, I knew there was an issue when, you know, because, of course, in the business, you hear things and you hear the rumblings about the situation down in Miami. And some of the guys are not happy with some of the calls that the coaches are making. And they felt like the coaches are not putting them in the best position to win. And that's the coach's job, to put a player in the best position to win. Now, I told Tony when I heard yesterday that they were talking about the owners is waiting to see what happens with this game before he determines his fate, determine the fate of Coach Philbin. I was like, oh, God, you mean to tell me his fate now is in the hands of the players, and the players have already been complaining about some of the coaching situations. I knew that was going to be a tough situation for them to win, and I figured we would be in this situation that we're in right now, talking about the first firing of an NFL coach in the 2015 season.
Now, Mike, let's look at some of the – okay, now you fire your head coach. You have to dig down. When I say a tight ends coach, I always say you have to dig down deep to put a tight ends coach as your interim head coach. Now, you know, in the business of coaching, tight end coaches don't fall, you know, high on the totem pole when it comes to leading a team. What do you think went into them hiring, at this point, an interim head coach that's a tight ends coach?
Well, it's an interesting point you bring up, Tony. And a lot of people thought that was some of the issues with what Philbin was doing, that there was an uncomfortableness with hiring other quality guys, you know, to fill the position, worried about who's trying to take a job. And that's why they were going to have to dig deep and to find someone to make that interim head coach, you know. And they dug deep and found out making tight end coach the interim head coach. So that was one of the issues. And one of the things about, you know, some of the issues that are coming out about the coaches. You know, you got to hire quality people. And always, I think you always have to be prepared. You have to be able, you got to hire that guy that you really think has the ability to replace you. You got to hire that guy. And I don't know that they were doing that down in Miami.
Now, Mike, tell me this also. Now, you let him go four games into the season, you let him go.
Which way do you turn
which
now?
Which way do you go, up or down? This guy has really – he only can go up when it comes to the success of the Miami Dolphins, because you can't go no lower than what they already are. Do you see them – and I'm saying, you know, because people saying in South Florida, do you see them hiring this guy down the line as their head coach?
Well, and you know, it's all about how the players respond in this situation right now. And they wanted, you know, they wanted to change. They got the change. Now, let's see you make it all what you thought it would be. So now what you get is you're going to run the same system. It's not like they're going to swap out a new system. The system is going to remain in place. It's just being run by a different guy that you hope and think can put more motivation in you about the system you're running. That's correct. What becomes the most important part. You know, you're running the same system, but is this guy here, does he connect with you more? Is he listening to you? Is he collaborating with you on what needs to be done and how we go about doing it? Do you feel like you're a part of it? And if you do, then you tend to get more results from the players if the players feel like they're a part of it. And maybe that's what you'll see. They might have had plenty of talent. There's talent on that football team. You know, and I always say there's a difference between the collection of talent and the collaborating of talent. Miami has talent. They just have to get the talent collaborating together and playing well together.
Like you said, they have talent. Now, a lot of people are saying Ndamukong Suh is not living up to the talent that they give it as far as the money goes. What's your take on that?
Not producing.
Yeah, listen, man, listen. There are two people on the Ndamukong Suh every play. Every play. So I don't necessarily buy that. I think sometimes what you see is a lot of things that Ndamukong Suh don't get credit for that he calls. You know, every offensive coordinator has headaches thinking about, I got to make sure I take care of Ndamukong. I got to make sure I keep my eye on him. I got to make sure I do this. So he's affecting the game. He's affecting the game, no doubt, on the field. The question is, how much is he affecting the team? He's affecting the game on the field. How much is he affecting the team with his leadership? Because when you give somebody that kind of money, we're not just asking you to make plays on the field. We're asking you to be a leader all around, period.
Now, one of the things, Michael, with just really quick here, do you think that the Dolphins can basically get what they need? I guess because they were saying Philbin was mismanaging the game. Do you think that this guy coming in as being a tight ends coach, can he manage the game correct, not having the experience? What do you think?
Well, you know, and all these coaches are coaches, and they can coach the game. But the key to being a great coach is not just understanding X's and O's, but understanding how to get the best out of each players that are running the X's and O's for you. You know, how do you motivate these guys? And that's what this is about. Can this coach get the guy to play a little bit harder, to do a few extra things? And if he can, they can turn around and get some winning in, and hopefully they get some winning in. Maybe he can solidify this thing into him a real head coaching job, you know. But it has to start with two things. It has to start with connecting with the players, because that would be my first priority, because I just saw the last guy didn't connect, and what happened with him? Lost the job. Job gone. I will connect with the players and make sure that I'm putting the players in a position to win on the field.
Mike, hey, brother, we can sit and talk football with you all night, but I got a lineup of guests. I have Joy Bosa, Michael Irvin, the second, Sam Blues, Shivers, Mr. Sean Shivers, one of the most exciting young running backs here in South Florida. I have Coach Glenn from Deerfield Beach High School. Thank you, man, for joining, taking time out of your busy schedule to join the Tony Sands Show.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, now, y'all go do y'all thing, nephews. Y'all knock them down.
Yeah, we're going to get them. Welcome to, hey, we ain't stopping, guys. The list is continuing to go. Joining the Tony Sands Show right now, my listening audience live from Tilt the Kilt on Las Solas and Andrews Avenue. Listen, man, if y'all can see me, if you're watching audiblesports.com, I'm trembling because I am sitting next to
two voices.
Woo! I don't ask two people. Maybe you can give me the answer.
Am I on now?
Yeah, you're alive. Bosa, you're alive. With that. Right, hey, I'm Mr. Bosa is what I'm going to call him because he's a big old fella now. He's a big guy. But let me tell you now. Let's get into this because this is my question. I'm trying to find the answer to.
Let's see.
Now, I don't know if you were probably a young buck at this time. They had two guys named Rocket Ishmael and Quadra Ishmael. They was two lightning type of guys. Fast. They called their mom the launch pad back in the day. They used to call their mom because both of those guys can fly. Straight out fly. All right. Now, your mom produces two extraordinary wide beats. What did we give your mom a nickname? What kind of nickname would you give me? She was the launch pad now, because there was blazing.
Mama Bear.
Mama Bear?
Mama Bear's a good one.
Wait a minute, how we give her Mama Bear? Then if we call her Mama Bear, what we gonna call you guys?
I'm MB Smaller Bear.
You're MB Smaller Bear. And what your brothers consider?
JB Big Bear.
No, we can't give you Big Bear, because Big Bear is sitting in the audience now. Big Bear produces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Big Bear produces all the little bears.
That's JB Papa Bear.
JB Papa Bear. That's what we're going to call JB Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Middle Bear.
No, I'm Smaller Bear.
You Smaller Bear.
Yeah.
I don't know how small could we consider him as a smaller bear, but he says Smaller Bear. Let's get into this now. You commit to Ohio State.
Yep.
Your brother's having a heck of a career at Ohio State. Do you feel any pressure going into Ohio State that you got to live up to his standards?
Yeah, there's always the pressure because everybody expects me to just go in there and play instantly like he did, and everybody expects that, all the Ohio State fans. So it's definitely a pressure, but I'm just going to go out there and do what I could do, play as good as I could play, and if I don't play instantly, then I don't. But I'm expecting to play right when I get up there and do my thing.
What went into your decision on committing to Ohio State?
The two main factors were Coach Johnson at D-line. He's one of the best coaches one of the best people I've ever met.
Okay.
And he's one of the best D-line coaches in the country. Okay. So he's one of the main factors for sure. And Coach Meyer, of course.
You're getting ready to play. Let's dig into this. And then, you know, we got a line of guests that we got. You're getting ready to play Deerfield Beach High School, a team to where you guys have been flip-flopping since your brother was here. Those guys have been flip-flopping this series. They win one, you win one, they win one, you win one. What motivation do you tell guys that haven't played Deerfield Beach High School? What do you tell those young guys getting them ready for Deerfield Beach High School?
You just tell them that Deerfield always has talent. They're always talented. A bunch of guys have come out of there and been really good college players and NFL players. So they always have talent. So and especially playing there in their muddy field, it's a trap game every year. So you just got to go in there and play tough and just play St. Thomas football.
St. Thomas football. Yeah. You're hearing it from Mr. Bosa, I call him. He called himself
NB Smaller Bear.
MB Smaller Bear. But he ain't that small when you sit. As a matter of fact, because we got Audible Sports. Raise it. Put your hand up. Look at here. Wow. And that's a massive size hand when it comes to him calling himself MB, Smaller Bear. You got Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and
Big Bear. And JB Big Bear.
JB Big Bear. That's MB it. Bear. Man, it's exciting
it.
To have you on the Tony Sands Show. Hey. I want to get a, make sure that we can all get a picture.
Yeah.
And we're going to tweet it out. But man, hey, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you. And thank Daddy Big Bear for bringing you here to join me at the Tony Sands Show. We're trying to keep this thing going, man. It's a pleasure. Every time I get out there and watch you go, man, you had a motor that's nonstop. I watched that in that Hollandale game. Even though you was hired as all outdoors, you still gave everything you had. And that's what you continue to go, man. I can't wait to see you on Saturdays, and looking forward to seeing you on Sundays. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show, man. You tell Mama Bear, I said, thank her for putting bears like you in the business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
Hey, joining the Tony Sands Show next is Coach Glenn from Deerfield Beach High School is coming to join the show. He's stepping up here. Listen, he's leading his troops in the battle with St. Thomas as well. It's a school that he just took over. Just took over as the head coach. He's leading his troops in the battle. week in and week out. He's joining the Tony Sands Show as we get deep into Buck football, as they call it, Buck pride. Coach Glenn, sit down and have a seat with me here, man. Let's dig into joining the Tony Sands Show. As I tell you guys, it's Coach Glenn from Deerfield Beach High School. Coach, you was given this job. You was handed the keys to this machine. Mm-hmm. They give you the machine because you got a lot of machines. Right? You got a lot of talent. I'm going to tell you that to the sky falling. You got some great talent. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you first get this job? What do you first tell your players when you first meet them in the press conference?
Well, believe it or not, the transition was much easier than a lot of people think. I mean, I've been part of the Deerfield Beach coaching staff for 9 years now.
Okay.
So I've been our defense coordinator, linebacker coach, running back coach. So most of the kids, they came up through me through the JV system. Uh-huh. So they understand what I expect and know who I am as a coach. So it was kind of smooth. But, I mean, I just tell them, let's do what we do. You know, we're going to play Deerfield Beach football that's tradition rich.
You know, because they call it Buck Pride now.
Buck Pride all day. That's right.
You know, and they'd have had a lot of great athletes to come out of Deerfield Beach High School that played Buck Pride. One thing I say about those kids on that end, Coach, and I tell people that all the time, those kids live and die Deerfield Beach football.
Yes, sir.
Now, you guys are getting ready. You're leading them in the battle. You guys are getting ready to go into a battle with St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Mm-hmm.
This series, to me, I tell people all the time, this series goes back and forth. Been going, the last 5 years has been going back and forth. Mm-hmm. They win one, you win one, they win one, you win one. What is it like to get your kids motivated for this game? Or do it take motivation for this game?
Really, if you can't get up for the St. Thomas game, then you know, you're not a true Buck. Like I said, this is big time. It's one of the best programs traditionally in the state and nowadays in the nation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we want to make sure, you know, we want to be considered a big boy, so we got to step into the ring with the big boys and go toe-to-toe. And that's what we do.
And you know, they're going to bring a fanfare. Then you're going to have all the fans from around the county, because they know this is the highlight game of the week. Now, you're going to have a big crowd.
Oh, yeah, we anticipate a huge crowd. I mean, year in, year out, the St. Thomas Deerfield game is, it's the place to be. It doesn't really matter. There's some other games that are playing that are pretty good, but they're not like this one.
And you're going to have some stars on the sidelines. What do you tell your kids with all the surrounding things going on? How do you keep them focused? I mean, because the crowd is going to be exciting. When they walk in the streets of Deerfield, they down there at Westside Park, guys, that is a park in Deerfield. Why? I know, because I've trained there and I go and watch my cheerleader team perform there. What do you tell them? How do they block out the surrounding things?
The first things first, we make sure we got the St. Thomas has enough stars on the field we don't have to worry about. So if we're looking on the sideline, we got a big problem already. But I mean, we're hard-nosed. Those kids are traditionally they're hard-nosed, tough kids, and Deerfield is everything to them. They really do take it seriously when you say put the city on their back. So we'll come in, we'll grind, we're, you know, hard-head, blue bucket, we're ready. So we just want to stay focused and do what we do. We're concentrating more on playing Deerfield Beach football and the rest to take care of itself.
Guys, you're talking here, joining the Tony Sands Show. If you're just chiming in, I'm talking with Coach Glenn of Deerfield Beach High School. Coach, you are what I consider, when I heard you was getting the job, I was excited for several reasons, because I knew your background. I knew your compassion. I knew your heart. I watched you, I think it was 2 years ago, sit in the stands pretty much a lot during the summer and watch me train young men. From that point on, I knew if this young man get a job, his passion just to watch kids be successful from watching it, I can imagine what it is when he have the key to it. Do you feel you are, and I know you are, I know you feel this, that you will be the one that will bring Deerfield Beach that first state championship?
I mean, that's my goal. That's why I took the job. I mean, I take coaching very, very seriously, because when I look at a lot of these kids, I see myself. You know, I'm here from the South Florida. I played at Ely. I'm from Fort Lauderdale. But, you know, I ran into a lot of great coaches along the way. I played for Rocky Gillis, who's now the county athletic director.
Correct.
And those guys were instrumental in me becoming a young man, you know, and now the man that I am today. So right. I know the importance of coaching. Like, that's something I don't take, you know, I take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So that's why I coach with a different passion. Like, if some guys, you know, they want to move on to the next level, maybe college coaches, and I want to be right here and affect my community.
Okay.
So that's very important to me. So that's where that passion is driven from.
Guys, you're hearing Coach Glenn talk about his passion of coaching Deerfield Beach High School. Coach, I'm going to be on that sideline watching this, because I love, and I train kids from both sides. So like I tell people, my heart is split in a game like this, because I love both sides. I'm an alma mater of one side, but I love the kids on both sides. Mm-hmm. So, hey, my word to you right now before you leave the Tony Sands Show, Coach, you continue to do what you are doing with them young men, because I'm hearing great things, whether I'm in the barbershops or just walking around the community, about what the job that you are doing, man. You continue to do that.
I appreciate it. That means a lot coming from you, man, the legend himself.
Hey, guys, that's Coach Glenn joining the Tony Sands Show. We've been to dive into Sam Bruce is joining, been to join the Tony Sands Show. Hey, an exciting guy. But I'm going to tell you one thing I learned about Sam Bruce today, that why he had the feet that he have. I'm going to let y'all hear when I break the news to him. Sam Bruce is joining the Tony Sands Show live. We finna get down. Coach Glenn, thank you for joining the show.
Appreciate you, my man.
Now, like I told you, there's a secret about Sam Bruce that he might not want y'all to know, but I'm going to tell y'all. He don't know I know. I dug deep and found this research, and I'm going to let y'all know why he have the sweet feet that he has. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, guys. We got St. Thomas Aquinas, exciting wide receiver. Mr. Sam Bruce is joining the Tony Sands Show. What's up, bro?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Doing great. Loving the atmosphere right now.
Let me tell you, man, my first time I got a chance to see you, I was out at American Heritage. I think it was at one of the Nike camps.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching you, and I'm like, man, this young fella is getting down.
Yeah.
Not knowing now that you was one of us.
Right.
I'm watching it, and I watch you walk past the sideline with the swag. I'm like, what? Ooh, I like that swag.
Yeah.
And the guy say, man, that's one of y'all guys.
Oh, yes.
Said, oh, for real?
Oh, yes.
I said, Sam Bruce. Then I said, oh, okay, I understand now.
All
but
right.
Sam, I know something about you now.
All right.
Why you got the sweet beer. I know you're going to wonder how I found this out. I heard you was a praise dancer at one time.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I heard you was a praise dancer. Is that true?
I mean, yeah, at a young age, but that's out of the way now. I'm 100% football player.
But now, how much did that play into the fact of you having sweet feet? Because praise dance, you know,
they
get up on their toes and they move around.
Yeah, I mean, I also did gymnastics for a year and a half.
Okay.
I took a year and a half off, and my dad put me in gymnastics to work on my balance and stuff, man.
Wow.
And it was definitely a pro.
Okay.
Definitely. I came in and I did an exceptional job. Also, I went to a couple regional championships and I won a couple regional championships.
Okay.
And after that year and a half, man, I was ready to get back on the gridiron.
Now tell me this. You committed to the University of Miami.
Yes, sir.
What went into your decision in committing to the University of Miami?
Just all around, just a family-based team, man. I love Coach Golden. My receiver coach, my past receiver coach from university school is now there, Kevin Beard.
Kevin Beard.
But through the past 4 years, man, just me and him back and forth, man, we've built a great relationship, and he's definitely a father figure in my life, and I'm definitely looking forward to spending the next 3 to 4 years with him.
Now, you know, a lot of freshmen, I'm going to find out from you, are you one of them freshmen to say, hey, when I go in there, I want to play from there?
Oh, yes, definitely. When I get in, hopefully I'll be fortunate enough to get number 6 and come in and make an immediate impact on the offense, definitely, and then also as well as special teams.
Now we got a minute left with you, so I want to get into this quick. You get ready to play Deerfield Beach High School.
Yes, sir.
What do you tell your young guys that may have not played Deerfield Beach High School? What do you tell them getting them ready for this game?
It's the same thing all in all every game. We're going to come out. We're going to give a state championship effort. And that's how we play football, man. We're going to play St. Thomas Aquinas football. We never go off of how many offers the players have or the rah-rah, the hoo. We play football at St. Thomas, man. We play football.
You're hearing it from Sam Bruce. We play football. They say we play right away.
Yeah, we play Raider football, man.
That's it. Hey, Sam, man, listen. We're going to continue to bring you on here on the Tony Sands Show.
Yes,
we're going to be doing it live from Tilt to Kilt on Monday nights.
Yes,
I'm going to bring it where me and you can sit down and chat about it out.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot of knowledge that I want to get out of this young man.
Yes, sir.
Because he is excited.
Yes,
he played Deerfield Beach High School football, St. Thomas Band, Deerfield Beach on Friday night. You got to be in the building.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be not a game in Brown today that's going to be exciting like this one. You're joining the Tony Sands Show. Hey, Sam, thank you for joining the show.
For sure,
man. Now I'm finna bring another monster on, a tall guy, Mr. Michael Urban. the second. A lot of people call him the junior, but he is the second. Mr. Michael Irvin, the second, will be joining the Tony Sands Show. Hey, Sam, handle your business, bro.
Yes, sir.
Continue to win.
Gotcha,
continue
baby.
To be proud. We proud of you.
Gotcha.
Michael Irvin, the second, is joining the Tony Sands Show. Thank you. That was Sam Bruce still joining the Tony Sands Show. It's been exciting, guys. It's been an exciting lineup. And then I'm going to end it with one of my guys because he played his position. I play. We're going to say, as I call it, the best for last. We're going to say the running backs for last. And me and him are going to dig into it. We're joining the Tony Sands Show. It's Michael Irvin II. You heard his dad speak on pro football. Let's talk to him about high school football. Michael, here you are. The son of a Hall of Famer. You played at Preston Wood in Dallas. Set numerous records out there in the great state of Texas. You moved here to South Florida. What was the expectations like when you got here to South Florida?
I was supposed to come down here and do what I was doing when I was in Texas. The expectations were very high for me. I came to my father's alma mater in St. Thomas. And expectations were always high, and I've strived to fill them just like I'm supposed to.
Now, this is your first time playing at Deerfield Beach High School, but you see them a lot in the neighborhood as they're walking around. What is the feeling like around St. Thomas and the excitement like with this game coming up?
For me, it's personal because when I was at Miami, I have a friend named James Pierre, who is committed to Miami, who will be going to Miami with me next year. And when we were down there, all he was doing was talking smack to me, and all we were doing was talking smack.
That's South Florida.
So to me, it's personal.
It's personal to you.
It's personal to me.
Now, you're the son of a great, and now you're not only playing at his high school football at his alma mater in high school. Now you committed to the University of Miami. What went into that commitment and the thought process?
What went into it was the tradition when I went up there and how much of a family they are. When I went up there, they made me feel like I'm a part of them.
Uh-huh.
Like it's immediately as soon as I was there. I mean, it was just a great atmosphere. And there was no other school that compared to it.
Okay, now, like I said, you're getting ready for Deerfield Beach.
Yep,
now, they got some corners that can man some people up. Yeah. Now, do that give you feel like that going to give you opportunity to get some dig routes, some seams?
I feel like I'll be able to do anything, but that's just me. I feel like I'll be able to do anything.
Now, you're hearing here on the Tony Sands Show, Michael Irvin II speaking on Deerfield Beach High School, his expectations here in South Florida, what went into his process of thinking when he committed to the University of Miami. Hey, Mike, man, thank you for joining the show. He's leaving with me, though.
Good, Tony.
From the show. Now, joining the show. You know, I saved, you know, because this is my position I play. So I saved this position so because me and him can talk because I understand what he's going to go through. Mr. Sean Shivers is joining the Tony Sands Show, guys. Let me tell you about this young man. I watch this young man a lot. I mean, when I say a lot, he's on the track. We're training. I've trained him. And all of a sudden,
all right.
Coach Moose, as I call him, Coach Moose. You got to call him another name. I call him Coach Moose because he's young. Now, he takes over at Chaminade.
Yes, sir.
Well, it ain't Chaminade Madonna. It's just Chaminade Preparatory, I think it is. All of a sudden, he comes after you and tell you that what he wants you to come and play for him. You as a running back, what were your expectations going into Chaminade?
Well, my it was to put Chaminade back on the map where it used to be back in 2004 and 2005 when they were state championship.
Uh-huh.
And I came in with a few of my friends to put school back on the map.
Now, you're lightening up, man. I mean, when I say you're lighting, I think you're right now probably, what, about 800 yards on the season?
Yes, sir. I'm 805.
And see, that's one thing about us running backs. We know exactly what we have. You heard me say 805. When they ask me about the record that I have, and some guy said, what you got, 390? No, 396 is what I have. Now, what makes you such an exciting running back?
Well, in the offseason, I was training hard because I told myself last year, my coach told me that I would be the best running back in the county for Broward and Dade, and I would be the best running back in the state. So I trained hard all summer, and all every day in practice, I go hard. Everything I do is 100%. Every time I get the ball, I run to the end zone. Every time I catch the ball, even if I run a swing route or out route, I run to the end zone. Everything.
So you finish off, rather than being practice, one game, you finish off runs.
Yes, sir. That's why now I have 12 touchdowns this year.
Let's get into it, because I'm going to tell you, I know what you've been to face because I faced it.
Yes, sir.
You know, we both the same in stature. We're short.
Yes, sir.
Do that motivate you enough to say, you know, I got to overcome because everybody's counting me down because of my stature? Because they can't measure what's in here.
Uh-huh.
They can only measure what they see physically. How much is that is motivation for you?
It's a lot of motivation because people say, oh, you too small. You ain't that good. You can't do nothing. But when I play against them, I have like 200 and something yards. Like we played card against me. Mm-hmm. They were talking down on me. Oh, all right. You ain't going to do nothing. You too small. I had 236 halftime with three touchdowns already. And I finished the game with 278.
If he would have let you finish, you probably could have went at my one of my. You could probably went at my college record of 396 if he would have let you finish that game. But I guess he said he got to preserve you because the schedule. You guys go down to Westminster. This weekend.
Yes, sir.
This Friday. Is it Friday night?
Yes, sir.
You guys go play one of my cousin's team, Mr. Cedric Irvin.
Uh-huh.
They're motivated. Him and Jason is going back and forth on the phone. They're talking trash to each other because they know each other. What is Coach Jason Milburn telling you guys to get ready for Westminster?
Oh, he's telling us that they're very arrogant. They think they're too cocky, and they think they're just the best team out. But we're going to go down there and show them who the best, and we're going to win that district championship.
Wow. You're hearing here on the Tony Sands Show, live from Tilt to Kilt. You are talking to Mr. Sweet Feet Shivers. You heard? Now, I gave him that name. I'm giving the name Sweet Feet Shivers. So that's what we're going to – you need to change – that was – we maybe need to change that Twitter name to Sweet Feet Shivers because they used to call – when I was at Kansas – they called, my wife said all the time, they called me Hershey's Kiss, you know, because I was small, and I was a chocolate brother. So they called me Hershey's Kiss, Tuxedo Tony Sands. So I'm going to give you, when I, Sweet Feet Shivers is what I'm giving, because that you have sweet feet. Man, the legs on the brother, Kelsey, the legs on the brother, I'm looking through his jeans, and I'm seeing muscles come out all over the place. Man, listen, you continue to put that program on the map because I understand what that means. When I got to the University of Kansas, they were the number 101 team of college football. There was only 102 at that time, Division I schools, and Kansas was 101. When I went in there, my motivation was to turn this program from a losing program to a winning program. I understand what goes into that. So when I heard you say that, that meant a heck of a lot to me. That meant a heck of a lot that you understand that you're putting Chaminade on your back and going to carry them to the promised land. You continue to do that. You continue to make your family proud because that they are. It's nothing like a parent when you can sit in the stands and watch your son have the game that you've been having because you've been having some games that's unbelievable. That put you at 805? How many more games we got left? What's that? We're at midseason, ain't we?
Yeah, we're midseason.
So we're looking at, tell Moose, we're looking at 2,000. Moose, if you're listening to the show, we want 2,000. If we don't get 2,000, I got a problem. I'm coming to see you, brother. I'm coming to see you. If we don't get 2,000 yards, I'm coming to see you because I know you're listening. Because you guys come back. So me and you going to have a little time next week because it's Chaminade night at Tilt to Kilt next Monday night. So you and your guys are coming back to the show. So I want you to tell all you guys at Chaminade, all your friends, all the students, we're going to pack this place.
Yes, sir.
Right. I'm going to leave that up to you now because you are the man on the campus. So I'm leaving that part up to you. We are going to pack this place. Every seat is going to be filled with Chaminade fans.
Yes,
so
sir.
You tell them I want to see them in the building. We're going to interview you, your quarterback, Coach Milgram, everybody. We taking over Tilt to Kilt. We're going to show them how to do what? How to pack this place.
Yes, sir.
Chaminade night, next Monday night at Tilt to Kilt between 6 to 8 here on the Tony Sands Show. Hey, You're joining Tony Sands along with Sweet Feet Shivers. You're on the Tony Sands Show. Man, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, you go down to Miami, and when see after the game, after you beat it, I want you to give him a word for me, Coach Cedric Irvin. Tell him we play football here in Broward County.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what they're playing, Dave. But tell him I said we play football here.
Yes, sir.
Tell him, say, that come from your cousin, T. Sands.
All right.
Thank you, man. Thank you for joining the show. Don't leave because we got to take a group picture, so don't leave here on the Tony Sands Show. Hey, we're going to close out the Tony Sands Show in about 5 minutes. Kelsey, let's get back in here and let you get back into this thing. Now, listen, I can start a football team with those group of guys. I'm going to start a whole football team with those group of guys.
That's a heck of a start.
Man, listen, that was a heck of a lineup. Now, listen, let me break the lineup now. Ryan Bartow, Michael Irving himself, the playmaker, Sam Bruce, Sweet Fee Shivers, Michael Irving, what did he call himself? MC?
MP?
MB Bear.
MB Bear.
MB Bear. MB Bear. Joining the Tony Sands Show. Listen.
Animal Bear.
The Gorilla Bear is what I call him, but that ain't no. I'm trying to figure out how you break that down. We talk pro football with Michael Irvin and the success, where the state of the Miami Dolphins is. He's told you his opinion.
State of emergency here in Miami.
It is what we do. Do we go up or do we go down?
Wow.
At this state of the game.
Hey, we got to stay tuned because I think, Tony, this is going to be good here in the next couple of days. We're going to have some juicy stuff coming out of Dolphins camp.
Like you said, in a couple of days, we'll find out, is this coach doing it in the right way, or do the Miami Dolphin guys flop the same way for Joe Philbin as they're going to fall for Mr. Campbell? We'll find out. They got the bye week.
So we got 2 weeks to kind of dive into it.
We got 2 weeks to dive into this to see what happened to this process of the Miami Dolphins changing at the head to a tight ends coach.
Are you still stuck on that tight ends coach thing?
I can't get that out of my mind.
I understand it. And I hear you keep alluding to
it. It's the tight ends coach. Tight ends coach as your head interim coach. I have a problem with that.
That was the interim position that was open. Okay? So they fill that position. However, that doesn't mean that guy is not capable. He could.
If you put the coaching ranks in order, you had to go way to the bottom of the list to get this guy.
Well, he was at the bottom of the list. You didn't have to go there. He was already there. Now, looking at that, well, like you said, there's no way that this guy can go but up. So now that we know he can go up, okay, so now we look at it and say, well, I'm playing with house money. If I'm him as a coach and being a coach myself, I know that I'm playing with house money. Every scheme or every type of motivational tactic that I use, correct. I mean, I can't do much worse than what Philbin has already laid out. So, hey, I'm going all guns blazing. I got 2 weeks to put in a change, as he said, a change of culture. Let's see what happens.
And like I said, because I think he threw Philbin under the bus. He threw him under the bus.
It won't be the first time.
Yeah, you're right about it.
It won't be the first time.
Right. It won't be the first, or it won't be the last.
It won't be the last.
Now, if he don't get the job done, do the next guy come in and throw him under the bus? And if he's thrown up under the bus, at that point, I'm trying to figure out.
Is it the owner?
And you can't fire the owner because I own the team.
Yeah.
Now, I know one thing, though. That pilot of that nice, beautiful Dolphin jet, been to get some money. He been to get his money worth, because he been to fly all over the country to try to find that jewel.
Oh yeah, you know it. He's gonna go in every nook and cranny, and money will be falling off the plane as it's flying to wherever it's going.
He was gonna get Harbaugh a lot.
He was gonna get Harbaugh a lot of money. I mean, when you go after a coach, once you have a coach, and then you go after another coach while that coach is still in place.
Do you feel he should have added more to the pot to get Harbaugh? At this point in the game. But he went back with Phil.
Looking back at it, I don't leave. I don't get back on that plane unless that deal's closed.
Unless the deal is closed.
Unless the deal is closed.
And like I said, because I'm quite sure you're gonna hear People say, oh, the plane is just taking off. It's just landed. Do it land again? Trying to get a Harbaugh?
Oh, man. Woo. You got your, I mean, your
which one
ace.
Which one you try to go after? I mean, do you go after the, you can't go after the one in Baltimore.
No, you can't go after the one in Baltimore. I think he's pretty much, yeah, no, they're going to block you at the door. But
what will it take for you to get the one at Michigan? You know, I'm quite sure he's itching to get back in.
Well, one of the reasons that he had said that he wasn't coming to Miami or he had trouble coming to Miami was because his family, his family was a major thing for him at that particular time because they're so entrenched in California.
Correct.
So I would think if I'm Stephen Ross and I'm smart about it, I'm going directly for the family and I'll talk to Harbaugh. Second.
Correct.
I'm going for the wife and the family because that was where I missed on the first time.
But not, like you said, you missed. So you're going to do what college coaches do. I'm going to wind and dine the mom. Forget the dad.
Forget the dad.
Because I know.
He'll come. He'll come.
He's going to follow Mama Bear. As they said, he's going to follow Mama Bear because Mama Bear leads all the other bears. That's Papa Bear and all the bears.
She's keeping everything on an even, calm level. That's what holds it down. So, therefore, if Stephen Ross is smart, that plane is flying exactly where she is, and that's where I'm going, with money in hand.
Listen, you're joining the Tony Sands Show. You're just chiming in. We're live here at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, one of the most exciting sports bars down in the South Florida area.
And this is a lovely bar. I'm loving this, Tony.
Man, I love the chicken wings. Man, they know how to treat you here. Now, next Monday night, Sweet Sheet Feet Shivers is bringing his crew. We're going to show him. He said he's going to show us how we pack this restaurant.
And he said he loves the chicken wings.
So that means he's going to come back and tell his buddies. And they said they make good chicken wings here.
Chicken wing party.
Killed it to kill. Now, next week.
Chicken wing party.
Next week. What, Joe? I got to tell Joe, the manager, that I want to wear one of those.
One of those kilts? You want to put on a kilt?
I want to put on a kilt.
So next week we're dressing in a kilt?
Yeah, next week we're dressing in a kilt.
Okay.
Now we can't wear it. We ain't wearing the tank top. Now we're just going to put on the kilt stuff.
Hey, long as we're sitting at the table here, you can't see the kilt. So we're all right. So camera can't get.
I want them to see me in my kilt.
I thought I could get by with that one. No, I wasn't actually getting by with that one. So
we are wearing, here on the Tony Sands Show, we are wearing the kilts. We all went, because I asked the guy, this is what I said one time. I asked the, you know, when I first came by, I asked the guy, I said, listen, what does it feel like to wear a skirt?
What did he say?
Oh, he corrected me real quick.
What was it?
He corrected me real quick. No, it's not a skirt. It is a kilt.
We're going to have to put this on early so I can get used to it before everyone gets here. So I need to practice.
I got to get my boots with it.
I didn't say I was going to the boots now.
You can't wear no kilt with tennis shoes on.
You got to kind of baby step me into this. I mean, we can't go.
Can't do it.
Jeez.
Can't do it. Guys, listen, hey, we got to run. It's been fun. We had a lineup that only you could dream of when it comes to high school, college, and pro. We had the number 2 national rated Michigan State running back, Madre London.
Yes.
We had the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin joining the show. We're live here from Tilt the Kilt. Next week, it is Chaminade Night at Tilt the Kilt.
Chaminade
Jason, you
night.
Better crank them fans up. We're going to have the line out the door because it is Chaminade Night. We got a whole week to get those fans ready because it is Chaminade Night.
It's going
to
be live. We're going to make it live. We're going
to
make it live.
Sweet Feet back to the show. Guys, it's been real. It's been fun. We had a guest, a lineup that only Coach could dream of. Here on the tip, we had Coach Glenn of Deerfield Beach High School talking about what it takes to keep that program at that level.
Yes.
Thank you for joining the show. It's me, my main man, Kelsey, that's sitting to my right here on.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, guys. It will be a wonderful show next week. Only gets better from here.